Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestling.
Yep.
Talking about the seventh serial of the fourth season, The Macra Terror, which is completely missing. It consists of four episodes, which aired from March 11th, 1967 to April 1st, 1967. Working titles for the story included The Spider-Men, The Insect Men, and The Macras.
Joe Fax!
And that guy you just heard say, Joe Fax, he's back!
We should have done a live Joe Fax.
Do it right now.
Live Joe Fax!
Chris Cherry is back, you guys.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
For the Macra Terror.
How does it feel to be back?
It feels sweaty. It's very sweaty.
We're just all
just
hot and bothered because
you're podcast.
Here.
Yeah, podcasts are very sweaty. That's why no one ever shows the footage from them.
Except us
on our Patreon. So what's been going on in the world of Cherry?
Lots of things. Done with grad school. We're shooting season two of Brains right now. Like, we just shot some yesterday. I say we, I wasn't there. But it happened, you know, and I'm affiliated with that. Shooting happened and I didn't have to be there, which is my favorite kind of shooting.
And of course now Bree is affiliated with us because she's a patron. It's all one big family now.
Exactly. All in the family. That's a TV show. This is going to get off to a weird start.
We've never had any other kind. We've never had like a straightforward, all right, now we're going to start talking about the episode.
It just sort of goes in.
That describes my sex life.
Everyone, we just kind of remember that we're going to talk about Doctor Who.
What were you finished? Talking about your life?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. So the next order of business?
I guess we
I'm
just
not drunk. Is Doctor Who.
Yeah, let's talk about the Macra Terror.
Is Macra is that from something? Is it just a made up name or is
I think it's short for macaroni.
I don't think it is short for macaroni.
No, I'm pretty sure it's because when they made the models, like a child saw it and was like, Ma, crab! But then it shortened it. That's terrible. Don't put that in the podcast.
Nope.
Going in.
Oh, and we have a title.
I'm Googling it and I'm not getting anything.
I know. I think it's just a weird name. But this is actually the thing about the serial is that they all start calling them Macra, but I don't know when anyone learns that they're called Macra.
I think the Macra give themselves the name by saying there's no such thing as Macra. That's the first time they're named.
I think at one point they did believe in them, but then they slowly got brainwashed not to. It's a name that's been around. It's like the Boogeyman or something.
Yeah, exactly. But that was never established.
The first time I think you hear it is them saying there's no such thing as Macra. And you're like, oh, is that what they're called?
Can I say about this serial? Is that, like, I had no idea of what this was going into it other than it had the Macra in it and they were like giant crab people or like giant crabs. So I kind of assumed that it was going to be like a base under siege story where like a bunch of people in like an outpost or whatever are menaced by giant crabs. And it was not that. It was something much, much weirder. It was just a weird, like, 1984 riff with giant crabs.
It's fantastic.
But you get to see, you know, like, because, I mean, the Macra come back in that traffic one. But you get to see where all that
Good
stuff
luck.
Sort of, I was like, oh, okay, so that's where they got that stuff from. That stuff still kind of exists back in this one. So that's kind of interesting.
It's interesting, too, that episode, Gridlock, is also a weird kind of dystopia, but, like, not related to the Macra. The Macra don't really have anything to do with the dystopia.
Right, they seem less intelligent.
Yeah, they're just sort of monsters. Like, they don't, like RTD said, they were, like, devolved Macra or something. Just to, like, it was just, like, they're just kind of shoehorned in there. It's just like, oh, it's Macra.
And then,
yeah, why not?
There's Macra, too, you guys.
He came up with the idea and was like, well, we work here. Oh, Macra, giant. space crabs.
The episode opens with the most terrible...
Oh, episode one?
Yes.
Fun for All. That's my title for it.
Mm. So...
Before we get into what happens in the episode, though, we need to talk about what's new.
Oh my god,
oh yeah,
do.
That's true.
We do.
You give me a look like, oh, let me get to it. And then I'm like...
You interrupted
like, oh.
me for like the second time.
Well, because I know you're about to jump ahead and we need to talk about the new opening.
We need to talk about the new opening because it's excellent.
Yes.
Mm, it's very good.
And it's the first face. Face in space.
I love the faces in space. Like, I remember, like, the 7B opening credits for, like, Series 7 of Doctor Who are, like, legitimately kind of terrible. I remember watching it. I didn't care because the face was back. I remember, I think, like, other people were just like, this is kind of tacky. I'm like, this face. They did the face.
The face in space.
I love the face in space. It's the best thing. There's something so weird in Doctor Who about it. It doesn't totally makes sense. It's really goofy and odd.
And I think it sets the tone of what you're about to experience. All of that right there.
I like the way it like waves in and then waves back out.
We've seen the death of Dr. Oho.
Yeah, no more Dr. Oho. The credits used to, when they pop up, they'd be reversed, so it looked like it said Dr. Oho instead of Doctor Who.
For at least a couple of frames.
Yeah, and then it would say Who. But now it just says Doctor Who.
Wait, so is that the doctor's name?
Dr. Oho?
Yes, Oho.
Yes.
I'd accept that. That's fine with me.
I like it better than Doctor Who.
Yeah, but he signs stuff Dr. W. Look how mad he gets, you guys.
Maybe it's Dr. Woho.
Do you know how many times he's referred to himself as Doctor Who in canon? It's so many times. That's probably his name.
What do you have to do, like, in order to see this video? Because, like, Joe's face is actually red. And those people are so lucky that they get to see this. Because he just looks like, look at him.
You have to pay at least $10 a month on our Patreon. Patreon.com/watchathon to see me be upset at the fact that his name is not Doctor Who.
But it is, though.
It's not.
In the show, it is.
No, he's using it as an alias, maybe. Maybe.
Doctor Who. Anyway, this episode, after the new credits that we get.
Before we get
nice.
To that, I'm just messing with you.
This is a mess.
All right, let's dive in. Episode one, Fun for All.
Eyes?
Oh,
no, that's how the episode starts, isn't it?
With eyes? It starts with a marching band, right?
The episode opens with cheesy... It was the most terrible music I've ever heard in my life.
It really sounds like ice cream van music.
Yes! And I'm like, I know part of it is just because it's, one, old. Like, so...
Quality's
the quality.
Great.
It does that thing where, like, I don't know, old music just hurts your ears sometimes. It gets, like, sharp.
Tinny.
Tinny, that's the word. Also, it's supposed to be a little unsettling, I feel like. But, yeah, overall, it's just the worst.
I don't know why, but I kept thinking about that scene in Shrek when they show up at, like, Farquaad's place, and it's that little cheery, chippy, happy music where they almost say ass.
Yeah, that's basically what this is.
The Macro Terror is basically Shrek.
There's no difference.
Instead of a giant dragon, you get giant crabs.
So there's this giant festival thing happening, and it's all nice and fun. And then somebody barges through because they've escaped.
His name is Medoc.
And he looks like Billy Bob Thornton in Fargo, the TV show. It's uncanny.
He's got that, like, bowl haircut. Isn't he wearing, like, you know, just like a tote? Not like a tote. What am I? Like, one of those, like, fur coat things, but with no shirt underneath it. Sort of deals going on.
Yeah, I nodded.
Why are you staring at me?
Am I not allowed?
There's a lot of nonverbal communication happening in this podcast. For the listeners, Joe is doing a bit, a mime bit. I was going to say for no one.
God almighty.
Now he's doing crab hands. He's doing two crab hands.
$10 a month.
So the episode that happened, can we talk about it?
Yeah. I wasn't stopping you. I was very quiet.
God damn it.
So Medoc is apparently refusing treatment.
And he's escaped and he runs outside where the TARDIS materializes. Because Team TARDIS is here, because that's what the show's about.
And they come out, and Jamie has a club.
He carries a big stick.
He's got a big stick because he's ready, because they, like, got a preview of this week's episode. That was the cliffhanger, was literally like, we're going to watch the teaser of next week's episode, and it's going to freak us out.
And it definitely freaks Jamie out, because he doesn't like the second sight. Very dangerous.
He's not wrong. Seeing the future has never helped a single person. It always screws you over.
Unless you're like Nicolas Cage.
To be fair though, 100% of those stories were written by people who can't see the future. So that sounds biased to me.
How do you know? Maybe there's like a 0.1%.
Right.
No, because those people don't write those stories.
That sounds like a fact that can't be verified.
It is verifiable. I know. I saw it in the future.
How does the rest of this podcast go?
Like this.
Is it all this bad the whole time?
All downhill from here.
Yeah, and then, they get attacked by MEDOK. I think Jamie gets his ass handed to him, even though he's the one who brought the big stick. That big stick did nothing.
I don't think, anybody really gets the complete upper hand. Because then Ben joins in and blah, blah, blah. But then the guards show up. The guards that were chasing MEDOK. And they're like, hey, stop.
Led by a man named Ola.
Ola. Every time I was like, why do they keep saying hello?
You made that joke so many times, you guys.
I made it once.
That's too many times.
Fair enough.
Every picture of Ola looks like a Soviet propaganda painting. Just the way he's shot, it's a low angle, and he's just looking up as if to say, comrades.
That's probably not done on purpose, because this doesn't exist. But yeah. Was there any existing footage of him? I don't even remember.
I think there was a little bit.
Does he look like that because of that, or because he's short?
It could be that to make him look intimidating. He's like, he is. He's Farquaad. This is Shrek.
And Jamie's Scottish, so is he Shrek?
Yes. This is all 100%. And the TARDIS is that outhouse that Shrek is going to at the beginning, and the opening credit, and the opening montage, and then All-Star plays.
Which is the shitty music.
Yeah, no, it all scans.
Including someone gets a haircut like Fiona does.
It's a very good haircut.
Yeah, it's an excellent haircut. I love it.
That is a very good haircut for her. That is a very becoming haircut.
It's the best thing that happened in the whole episode.
I mean, that is not true. I have opinions about this.
But it's a really good haircut.
It is a very good haircut, though.
Polly wears a wig for most of the first half of this episode, and then she gets a haircut because she actually got a haircut.
It's very short and very cute.
It is very cute.
And Ola shows up. You guys picked this one for me because it was completely missing, and I hadn't watched a completely missing one. By the time I watched this, I'd already watched a couple of completely missing ones, so it wasn't a new experience anymore. But I realized something. I don't know if it's just something about this one in particular, is that I knew everyone's names before the story tells you. I was like, there's Ola. It's like, oh, hey, Ola showed up. But no one knows that he's Ola. No one said Ola, but I know he's Ola. I know MEDOK is MEDOK.
You have secret future knowledge.
That's the one plus side to these missing serials, is that I remember their names better because I've seen
them. Because you've read
them? Because I've read them. Whereas if we're it's a one that exists, I'm like,
you'd be like,
alien guy number two.
Also, they're all really bad names in this thing. Later, there is a character named Officia. It was a typo in the script. It meant to say official. It was just supposed to be unofficial. Someone fucked up. It was oh, no, he's just Officia. That's his name.
So basically, Ola invites the TARDIS crew back in, hey, we're having a festival. It's pretty sweet. You should come. You should come hang out with us.
And the doctor, the doctor is saying, I think we're on Earth and it's the future. And he's like, how do you know this? He's like, I don't know. I'm guessing.
I'm just making it up.
I have that in my notes. I was with a little note. Just that's the most doctory thing. That's a very New Who line.
It's starting to feel more like New Who than definitely the first season or the first Doctor ever did. But yeah, they get into town and then we get to see, Big Brother up on the screen, the controller, who Polly is instantly like, ooh boy, that guy's hot.
Good looking man.
Polly clearly hasn't read 1984 because she's like, no, this makes sense. This is fine.
I haven't read 1984 either, but I know the reference.
Really?
Really. I've heard the Oingo Boingo song 1984.
You should read it.
You can't tell me what to do.
I was going to be like, didn't you go to school? Then I remember you didn't go to school.
I was homeschooled. I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and The Old Man and the Sea.
Ugh.
There's a lot of sea books.
That's better than being in school. I find when I was in school, they always gave us a lot of books. It seems like there was a period of children's literature where there was a lot of books that were focused on tales about young children surviving in the woods by themselves.
I always had to read fucking Dogs Dying.
I read that one on my own.
Books about quilts and womanhood. But it was every terrible thing that could happen to a human being would happen to a character, and it'd be it's womanhood, celebrate it. And be like, this sounds shitty. This is terrible. The other 8th grade class had to read that. I had to read How to Kill a Mockingbird. So
I did have to read a sad woman's plight book for school, though, which was The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom.
I don't know, but I already hate it.
She was in a concentration camp. sort of deals. Fun times.
Fun times. So this episode.
Wait, what are we talking about? Oh yeah, the controller is hot.
Sent to the work pit. Is that what they call it? Like the work pit?
Everything is very literally named. There's a special name for the work pit. I'm going to get to that. Comes later. That I want to spend some time on.
The work pit sounds like a place I don't want to be.
Yeah, that's fair. But like at first, everything's really nice. Like it's basically a spa.
Yeah, they're like, hey, by the way, now that you're here and that we're having this festival go on, what nice shit do you want? That's when Polly gets her haircut. She gets her hair shampooed and she gets a haircut and they have all these like spa treatments and they get new clothes and
Ben's wearing these ridiculously tiny like glasses thing. You know the kind you put on like when you're tanning?
Yes.
And he looks adorably stupid.
I think at one point someone tells Polly that she should be beauty president.
Yeah.
Yes! Oh, you'll probably get elected as our colony's beauty president. She's like, oh, thanks.
You don't have to be a citizen? Nope. And Jamie is surrounded by ladies and is frightened of it.
Yeah, she is very uncomfortable.
I said during that scene where I was like, he's just a little baby ace, isn't he? He's just a little baby ace and he doesn't know what's happening.
I love it. It's so great. Especially since I think, like, it's hard to tell because it's a reconstruction, but I'm pretty sure Ben is being kind of gross.
Yeah, probably.
I was going to come into this, like, the serial, and I was watching the serial, and I was like, I'm going to consciously make an effort not to, like, be mean to Ben. And then they turned Ben evil.
Right.
I will say they do some interesting stuff, though, where it is like, aw, Ben.
I will also say that I enjoyed his acting. So it's not that the guy can't act, it's just that he's acting like Ben, who we don't like.
Right.
So
like, evil Ben at least tones it down a bit, surprisingly.
He's a larger range of emotions when he's evil. He's added conflicted and confused to shouting.
Oh, and then we get a little comedy bit with the doctor. He gets all cleaned up.
There's like this machine and it just like makes you look fancy. And he's like, ah, you ruined my shoes. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're all shined up. And he's like, I know.
They're suede. He's like, hey, what does this button do? Fiddle, 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 gets in it, and it just wrinkles him all up again.
Messes his hair up, and he's like, ah, much better.
I like this
Which
doctor.
Is everything I love about, too.
It's very, like, I know, like, you've talked about, and I've talked about Bugs Bunny Doctor before, but there's, like, a very, like, especially these earlier ones, because I haven't seen as many of these earlier ones. In these kind of first few serials, he really is, like, a Chuck Jones character.
He is, and it's amazing.
Like, all the disguises, and but after this whole, like, nice spa stuff. MEDOK gets taken to like the council of whatever, you know, one of those scenes. And he's like, I saw giant things. And they're like,
they're
no, you didn't.
They're crawling around. They look like bugs maybe, or crabs or something.
And we're like, well, we're going to have to send you off to get treated because you're clearly seeing shit that's not there. And then they're like, everybody else, prepare for the reception for the strangers. We're going to have a big party for them. It will be fun for all.
That's how that line's delivered. It will be fun for all in, like, the most threatening manner.
I love how, like, they get codified as the strangers. Everyone calls them the strangers. Like, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be proper nouns that are.
That's the way Tony writes things. Capitalizes just words she thinks should be important.
That are important. I capitalize proper ideas.
But that's also kind of a Doctor Who trope, though, too, that I love. The Doctor and, like, Team TARDIS land in, like, a world, and, like, in a community, and every single person in the community is affected by it. Like, everyone as a group just goes, whoa, people!
Ah, travelers, strangers! Ah.
And then they talk about them. There's a lot of gossip about the strangers.
Basically, they keep landing in small towns.
That's like, how many people are in this colony? Because it feels like 12.
Well, you got a whole marching band.
They're cheerleaders, too. Enough people to work in the work pits.
But, like, when they say that MEDOK is, like, escaped, they mention him by name. Like, everyone knows who MEDOK is.
It's a colony, though. That's a small group of people. I would say, like, 30, 40 people are living in this place.
Okay, I buy that.
Mystery solved.
We can move on.
So the doctor kind of gets a heads up that something might be kind of sketchy, right?
Well, he sees him locking up MEDOK.
I think he heard MEDOK when they first caught him and they were carrying him away. He's like, there's stuff happening and you guys aren't paying attention to it. And the doctor wants to find out more about that.
Yeah, so he breaks into MEDOK's cell.
Because he's seen the episode teaser and he knows that there's monsters. And so he says, like, monsters, like, Oh, yeah.
So that, do they look like crabs? He's like, how did you know that? He's like, I
read the script. I mean,
the script was just like, everyone's sort of ambiguous about what they look like, which I think was just the writers being like, they look crabs maybe, or insects. There's just like kind of writing around.
Whatever you can make.
The props people get.
I mean, it was originally called The Spider-Man, so that tells you something. But he goes in and he's like chatting with MEDOC and like, hey, MEDOC, what's going on? What'd you see? And MEDOC's like, I don't trust you, and escapes.
So like, they come in to be like, whoa, where did our prisoner go? And the doctor's like, let him escape.
And they're like, well,
but it was an accident.
And they're like, well, we're going to arrest you. And then he's like, hey, I'm a stranger. I don't know your laws. Also, we caught him first, so technically he's kind of like our prisoner, maybe.
And the leader of the group is like, all right, sounds legit. You're right. You don't know the laws, so we can't hold you accountable for letting someone out of a cell.
They're very weird about crime in this.
That leader was Pilot, right?
Yeah, Pilot.
Pilo is what they should have called him.
But they're weird about crime?
They're weird about crime, because like going into like the next episode, they go, eventually he goes out, because the doctor goes out looking for MEDOC, and they both get captured by like Ola, and when they get brought back, like later he's saying that I found MEDOC, and they're like, then that's, you're fine, even though I'm pretty sure the crime was going out after curfew. They're not really clear on like what the, why they're like, how crime works or how they're punishing. It's like oh, I was just looking for him. It's like, oh, then you're fine.
Oh, okay, misunderstanding. Fine. They're basically like really terrible parents. They're like, I know I snuck out even though I was grounded, but I really wanted to go to this party. I'm like, oh, that's understandable. You're still grounded though. Oh, okay. But I can keep doing whatever I want.
That pretty much sums up the rest of this episode, is that, yeah, the doc leaves to find MEDOC. It's past curfew. They're going to shoot to kill MEDOC. And then they bump into a crab. And that's the end of the episode. That's the end of episode one, Fun for All. And we're now into episode two. There are no Macra! All my episodes are named after things that the controller has yelled.
Guys, the controller has the best acting in this whole serial.
This is accurate.
This will just be saying, like, benign things, but with anger sometimes.
Or just panic. Just straight up panic.
Right. By the way, there are no Macra. And like, no one said that there...
There's no Macra! Okay. There's no Macra.
Okay. Like, but they're clearly the Macra, and they're really bad at hiding it. She's like, Macra speaking, I mean, controller. There's no controller. I mean, there's no Macra. I'm the controller. I'm not the Macra. No Macra. There's no controller. I'm the Macra. Switch that.
So yeah, the doctor gets brought to Pilot, and they're like, you're in trouble. But then MEDOC's like, no, he was catching me. And he's like, you're not in trouble.
He's like, oh, well, if the criminal says he's innocent.
My favorite part about that is that the way the doctor plays that, basically the doctor comes in, and they're like, MEDOC's crazy. And he's like, you know, he may not be crazy. And they're like, MEDOC's here. He's like, never mind, he's definitely crazy. Don't listen to him. And then MEDOC's like, the doctor was not doing anything wrong. He was trying to catch me. It's like, okay, MEDOC is not crazy. Super listen to him.
But literally, like, they get, like, a call that's like, we need to speak to you. This changes everything. MEDOC said something that changes everything. And he just walks in and he's like, yeah, he's fine. It wasn't the doctor's fault. And they're like, you're right. This does. This changes everything.
But, like, I don't know that that's not something that could have been said on the phone. Like, the person on the phone was like, no, we need to build suspense for this.
This is something that can only be performed in close proximity. So, and then everybody goes to bed.
Do they try to leave to, like, go sleep on the TARDIS? And they're like, no. It's past curfew. You'll sleep here and you'll like it. Little cubies.
And some gas starts leaking out over them. And then a voice is like, you are evil now.
There are no such thing as Macra. What's Macra? Don't worry about it. They don't exist.
You know those crab things you saw in the preview?
They're not there. Not real.
Don't remember them.
But Jamie kind of wakes up.
Oh, I wanted to say, while this scene was happening, here's a fact about Tony.
Oh, good, we're sharing.
Can you say Tony fact?
Tony fact!
To go to sleep, Tony listens to these self-hypnosis videos, not because she believes that it's hypnotizing her, they just help her fall asleep. Because it's a very soothing voice, and there's pleasant music, and blah, blah, blah.
Also, they say nice things about me. They're always like, you are a good person, and deserve to be happy. And I'm like, that's true. I'm gonna go to sleep now.
So this scene was very reminiscent of those tapes, except, you know, it was like, murder, death, kill. That's not what they said, but the equivalent of that.
No, because, yeah, it's all, like, propaganda.
They're brainwashing.
But, like, again, in this very, everything about, like, this society and, like, the writing of this serial is very blunt. Everything in the colony is good and beautiful.
You enjoy working. That's the aspect of it that got me, was, like, Work is fun. You love to work. It makes you happy. You are so happy because you enjoy working. I was like, this is too real. Because
that's what happens like when Jamie wakes up and he's like, hey, Ben, I think something's trying to talk to us. Something evil. And he's like, go to bed. We have to work.
We got to get sleep so we can work for the colony.
And he's like, what? And he's like, well, it'd be rude not to.
I do like that at this point, Ben's already hypnotized.
I kind of wanted the twist of the episode to be that, like, the hypnosis doesn't work on the strangers, and Ben is just very impressionable.
He very quickly is like, yep, all right, I'm on board.
I'm wondering if they knew at this point, because this is also, like, the first serial, I think, where they're really characterizing Jamie more. I don't know how intentional it is, but the dynamic with Ben and Jamie is sort of setting up kind of Ben and Polly are on their way out, and Jamie's our new guy.
It does feel like there are a couple of times where Jamie does something, and it's like, Jamie's so smart. Where he'll set something up, or he'll figure something out, and you're like, all right, this guy knows what's up. And Ben and Polly are also here. I mean, not like, just that's just the way that the story is set up.
Plus, they give him that very, like, line where Jamie says, I don't take any orders except from the doctor.
I audit that.
He's already, like, he's totally on board. He's like, I'm a companion now. He's
clearly already more loyal than Ben, because Ben's like, all right, I'm evil now.
I just feel like he's very susceptible to brainwashing. That's all I'm saying. Jamie wakes up
because there's
like,
not a whole lot to watch.
Jamie wakes up and he's like, something's going on. I don't know what it is. But at this point, Ben's already gone.
Meanwhile, Polly's had enough time for the doctor to come in and like
root through her shit.
Yeah, like the doctor has graduated from like going through stranger stuff to going through his companion stuff.
Just while they sleep, he gets like a wire from her bag, I guess. I don't know why she's carrying around wire. And then just jiggles it in the wall and it goes.
I like the way it looked in the reconstruction, because there was like just all the smoke over a still picture. It was great.
I love the way that they try to like animate these a little bit. I feel like the people who made this reconstruction, like there's this one guy who's just like, you guys laughed at me when I bought that smoke package. But we're getting so much use out of that thing.
I know that guy.
The doctor just disables the gas device in the wall. Then he goes in and I guess he disables the ones inside.
Like Ben and Polly are, or not Ben and Polly, the doctor and Polly are chatting. He's like, yeah, I disabled the thing. It's mind control. Isn't that neat? And then he's like, oh shit, I got two more. I should probably go get them. My bad. I forgot.
Then he jiggles the thingy in their wall. Psst, psst. And they're fine. But Ben's all like, the law!
You've broken the law!
What is the law? No spilled blood. No? Okay.
You're doing a reference that four people get.
And only three people listen to this podcast.
One of them is one who'll get it. But yeah, so Ola comes in to take the doctor and like, hey, stop fucking with our shit and our walls. That stuff's there for a reason. And our bills are going to go way up because now there's broken shit. And Jamie's like, I don't take no orders from anyone except the doctor. That's where that scene happens. Then we get a scene of them hypnotizing Medoc.
Also, Ben and Jamie fight.
Oh yeah, they do.
We don't have any commentary.
No footage found. It would probably mean more to me if I cared about their friendship.
Oh.
But like, yeah, they fight. Is when Ola arrests them, what's the bit where like someone says like, you tampered with our stuff? It's like, and the doctor's like, I'm proud of it.
Well, I think someone tries to say he doesn't know the laws, but he's like, you admit to tampering with our stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, and I'm proud. But they still don't arrest him at this point.
They take him at this point. But I mean, he says the proud thing once he gets taken to Pilot. He says it to Pilot.
The Pilot. His name's not Pilot.
No, his name's Pilot, isn't it?
No, he's the Pilot.
Oh, he's the, what's he, what the hell is he piloting?
The colony. Like, maybe this is like, this colony hasn't been around for that long. Like, they just landed. And, like, on the way there, he was the pilot.
Although I feel like it's implied that it has been there a really long time. Because when you do eventually see the controller, like, the actual, he's an old guy, but the picture is young. And I think the implication is that it's been happening for
Which
that long.
I'm
going
to say some stuff about that once we get to it. It doesn't
They kind of botched that operation.
Before he even gets to Pilot. The pilot. I think his name's Pilot. The pilot.
It's not.
Again, someone is named Officia.
Yeah. So, hey.
But his name's not Pilot.
What if he was just Pilot from Farscape?
Aww.
This would be a better serial.
Then we'd be watching Farscape. I'd be just as happy.
We need a Watchathon of Farscape.
Okay.
The Watchathon of John Crichton.
Watchathon of Zahn.
Ooh, Watchathon of Zahn. Yeah, that's better.
Oh.
So they're trying to hypnotize Medoc. It's not working. Polly runs away because she's like, fuck this shit. And Ben's like, no, fuck your shit. And like, and Chase is chasing Polly as she's running away. And Polly runs into a crab.
The Macra.
The Macra. And Ben's like, no, you didn't see a crab.
He's like staring at it. And Polly's like, there, that, you see it, right? And he's like,
no. And then she gets attacked. And he's like, you're being attacked by air.
No, he has this line, which I think is great, which is, there's nothing dangerous in the colony, so it must not be dangerous. So it's fine. It's fine. Right. Yes. Okay. Like, he's trying so hard to...
Yeah, you watch him struggle, like it's just this instinct of, I have to save her, but I can't acknowledge what I'm saving her from.
Which, I have to admit, is an excellent scene for Ben.
It is.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
There's actually some existing footage here where he attacks the Macra. It looks like he was hitting him with something. It looked like a giant shoe. I don't know what he was hitting it with. They get out. They get away from the crab. That's when we get the scene where the doctor's like, he jiggles his wire inside the pilot's room as well. And the pilot's like, stop! And he's like, no, I'm proud of it. That's when he says the proud thing.
Well, the doctor's like, it's interesting that you're, you know, also being brainwashed. And the pilot's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing, everything's fine. Stop talking. It's confusing me.
And then Ben and Polly come in. And Polly's like, we saw the crab. Tell him, Ben. And Ben's like, I saw nothing.
It could have been a spider.
The script was really unclear. That's when we get to the thing where the controller is on screen and they're like, that's not really a controller, it's just a picture of the controller.
Right, like, this colony has video capabilities. What's the deal with that? Doesn't seem fishy to anyone, no?
And then in the most terrible plan ever by the Macra, they're like, just show the real controller we have around here for some reason and we've not killed, I don't know why.
And haven't been using him to, like, actually be the controller.
It's like, he's not like a puppet, he's just there.
And then he just cuts to, like, this old, confused-looking guy, and they're like, talk, say something, tell him we're it's all good.
Well, what it is they demand to see him, like, in person.
Yeah, I know, but, like, well, still, why would you do that?
I don't know.
It's a terrible idea. What did they think was going to happen? He literally sits there and doesn't say anything. And then the giant crab claw comes out and chokes him. Like, do that shit off screen. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's literally just like, there's no crabs. Like, there's no crab hands. You can't see this crab hand.
And that's the end of episode 2. There are no Macra. And we're into episode 3. No permission.
Have we glossed over, or has it not come up yet, what happens in the work pits?
No, we haven't got to the work pits.
Yeah, they explain in more detail. Like, they talk about it a little bit before, that they're, like, mining gas. Which is kind of awkward for me, because I wrote a Doctor Who script about mining gas.
Well, just squeeze some Macra in there.
Yeah.
And this story runs into the same problem that I ran into, which is that, like, mining gas is boring, and you have to say the word gas a lot.
That's not what got us.
No, yeah, we didn't laugh all that much at gas. We laughed a lot at the word shaft.
Yes! Yes, there was they did say shaft a lot.
And I'm 8. Every time I was like, Joe.
Jamie slides down the shaft.
Shaft, what? They said it.
But it's not just a shaft. Like, this is the thing. Because of, I don't know if it's just the way that the Macra work, where, like, things that aren't proper nouns become proper nouns. So, like, he wasn't just in an old shaft. He was in the old shaft, in the forbidden ground. And, like, everything is specific. So when everyone knows it, it's like, he's in the old shaft, in the forbidden ground. We all know what this is. Those are what those things are called.
We know exactly what shaft that is.
And there's also the pipe room.
It's like, a lot of the Macra controller, like, lines were just like, stay away from the adjective noun. Including my favorite adjective noun that I had to look up to make sure that this is what they were saying. Because they get arrested, and their punishment for being arrested is to work in the mines in something called the Danger Gang. Which is amazing. I was like, did they just say Danger Gang? And I had to, like, look it up on, like, the TARDIS wiki. I was like, no, it's the Danger Gang. Which sounds really cool.
I want to be in the Danger Gang.
Like, I know that this, like, TARDIS crew, this current TARDIS crew is not long for this world, but I want to refer to them specifically as the Danger Gang. Like, two, Ben, Polly, and Jamie are the Danger Gang.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Accepted.
Danger Gang. It's the best thing.
And so, we get some music when they're heading down there.
Well, this, by the way, is where Officia pops up.
Officia's playing some of their jolly jingles. And
what's wrong with you?
And the doctor makes, like, snarky comments about the bad rhymes. He's like, yes! That's the real punishment, right?
The riders are the ones who should be put in the Danger Gang. Just saying.
The Danger Gang. I love that name, you guys. I love the Danger Gang.
And then MEDOK shows up because he's being punished as well.
Yeah, he's already working in the mines. He shows up and it's like, all right, MEDOK, take these guys to the mine, show them how to work. And MEDOK's like, okay, but we get, what's it called? Like, somebody gets to stay behind and monitor us?
To be the supervisor. He's like, that's going to be the doctor. And they're like, okay, what? Who is letting me? They just trust MEDOK for no reason. Like, he's the bad guy in their eyes. Why do they just let him do shit?
They get to pick who it is the thing.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's like, someone's got to be, like, in some ways, the laws are very strict in, like, a way that's in their favor. It's like, well, there has to be, like, a supervisor. I mean, health and safety. There's, like, OSHA laws. We don't want to get sued.
First, the doctor's like, well, then it should be Polly. Polly should stay and we'll go. And this is where Jamie's like, don't you think you'd make better use of the time? And the doctor's like, what do you... Oh, yeah, I can fuck shit up. Okay, yeah, I'll stay. You guys go. I'll fuck shit up. Don't worry.
There's also, before that, there's another great joke where someone, I forget who it was, says, the girl and the old man should go down. And the doctor's like, you're not that old, Jamie.
That is a good joke. I forgot about it. So I think at this point, Ben kind of stumbles in to make sure they're not being too suspicious. Or...
Yeah, keep an eye on the doctor.
Yeah, he's been ordered to spy on them.
The doctor's like, hey, don't get too close to Jamie, because he'll fuck your shit up. Just warning you.
And Ben, like, confesses, like, I'm here to watch you, but also I'm hearing voices in my head. Is that weird?
Should I be worried, or...
My body is going through changes.
Which I really like the doctor's response to brainwash Ben. It's just like, no, I understand. You're brainwashed. It's okay. We'll fix it. Don't worry. It's probably really stressful for you right now. Like, he's very understanding, and, like, the scene between the two of them is very nice. But it's like, it's probably stressing you out to have this in your head. It's cool. We'll figure it out. No worries.
So then some pet work goes down. And
working in the mines.
They're mining gas. Don't know why.
Nobody knows why.
Nobody knows what it's being mined for. It's just what you do.
We're just saying it helps the colony.
It's like that story about the woman who cut the edges off of her was like her turkey.
That's like
whatever.
Your favorite fucking story.
It's a good story. And I'm like, why do you do it? I don't know what grandmother did. Why did she do it? I don't know what her grandmother did. Why did she do it? That's because it wouldn't fit in the pan. It's the same thing. They've just been mining gas and they don't know why. It's because they do it.
We have, like, the very fun thing of, like, the doctor gets left alone up there. Like, immediately starts trying to figure out what's going on so he can fuck shit up. And so he just starts doing math on the wall with a piece of chalk, which you guys haven't gotten to 12 yet. But I was so happy because 12 has chalk. And I was like, this is such a 12 thing.
That's awesome.
Right on the wall. And he's like, I did a good job. 10 out of 10.
He
and writes it on the wall.
He figures out this formula, and is it the official?
I think it's official. It might be Pilot.
I think it's Pilot, yeah.
Who comes back and is like, whoa, where did you get this information? That's like classified secrets. And the doctor's like, really?
You need to, like, change that or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I figured out the secret formula. 11 out of 10.
No, what happens is he's like, who told you that? And he's like, nobody. I just worked it out. And he's like, it's the exact same, like, notation and everything. And he's like, really? And then he gives himself 11 out of 10.
11 like, out of 10.
And then
that's a new who thing.
The pilot makes him erase it, which isn't like he knows it now.
What does that mean exactly?
I think it's like, it's basically like what the gas is and what it does or whatever. I think the Macra don't want people to know what the gas is or like the conversion of the gas or whatever. Something that happens to the gas because then it, like, people might figure out that it's like crab gas.
And then meanwhile, down in the pits, Officia gets gassed.
Oh, yeah. There's a little pipe. Well, and it's his own fault, too. That's what I remember, is that MEDOK is like, hang on a second, that's dangerous, and we've got to go back for a second. And the guy's like, I know what I'm doing. And then the wall cracks open, and he gets gas in the face, and then he passes out.
And Jamie takes that opportunity to steal his keys. And Ben takes Officia away. And they're like, oh, shit, Ben was here the whole time? Do you think he saw me steal the keys? I don't know. You better escape fast, just in case. So he does. He goes through a door. Which leads into the old
the
shaft.
The old shaft.
Is that OLD or OL apostrophe?
Yeah, a little bit on the, a little bit of work in the old shaft there.
Does MEDOK escape with him? I think he does. With Jamie? Because MEDOK gets crabbed.
Yeah, he escapes. He escapes with him, and but he runs into the Macra.
He gets deaded.
You know what? I can't stop thinking about the Macra.
What?
Just how much crab meat that would be.
That is a lot of crab meat.
Can we go to Red Lobster?
One of those deadliest...
When we're done filming this, can we go get some Red Lobster?
Oh my god. Why doesn't Nuhu do, like, a deadliest catch, like, parody, but where it's, like, people hunting down macro for crab meat? Like, a documentary thing about what? These people that hunt macro. This is a brilliant... That's the deadliest, deadliest catch.
That's what they say in the episode.
I'm gonna write that now.
Okay. I'm serious about getting crab, though.
And then that's when, like, they're like, oh, well, we need... They're in the old shaft. We should go get them. And then, like, the commander's like, no, 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 no.
Nobody goes in the
shaft. No one goes... Shut. Damn it, Tony.
No one goes in the shaft.
This colony is a colony that, like, they have, like, cheerleaders and they have, like... A marching band. There seems to be a lot of celebratory things happening in this colony. There's a possibility that there have been, like dances and, like, just full-on balls near... Just in the vicinity of this shaft. There could have been balls near the shaft. That's all I'm saying.
I hate both of you.
Like a penis!
Fuck you.
I hope the fans love this episode. This is A+ criticism right here.
I'm later going to make a comes out of the shaft joke. But anyway.
All right. That was a preview. We looked into the time thing and saw that joke.
Officia is like, we need to go into the shaft to find them. The controller's like, no, 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 no. No permission.
Nobody goes in the shaft.
And Officia's like, yeah, all right. That's fine. She's like, okay, I guess not.
You have to listen to the controller.
Exactly. That's why he's called the controller.
And still is, like, resisting, like, he's still struggling with this.
Break free from his mind
he's
control.
He's got to break free. Then Jamie finds MEDOK dead, sadly. I liked MEDOK.
I did too.
I liked MEDOK too.
I like saying his name, MEDOK. I was involved in a web series where there was a character named MeShip, and he had this boat that that was, like, on a dock, and this bad guy wanted him to get his ship off the dock. So he was always saying, get me ship off the dock. Get me ship off the dock. And Tony, while we were watching that, said, get me dock off the ships, and I about died. And I was like, nobody understands this reference. One of three people gets this reference. Get me dock off the ships. Anyway, that's a dumb aside. But the doctor is testing the lethalness of the gas. And is bad.
It's really bad, you guys. It kills people.
It's lethal gas.
Ben is all worried about friends. Because somebody says something about friends, and he's like...
The pilot does. Ben cannot find the pilot, but when the pilot is not in his office, his conditioning continues to break down, especially when another worker mentions the word friends.
I know, but what does he say?
I don't know.
He says something, yeah, one of the guys says something about friends, and Ben's like, yeah, what about friends? And it was like, it was actually kind of good.
I was gonna say, I kind of like Ben in the serial.
He's got a good arc in this.
That's all he needs. He needs shit to do.
And then Jamie attacks the Macra, or attempts to. Ben tells the pilot about Jamie escaping. Yeah. Because then he's like, well, we gotta stop him. And then again, the controller's like, no!
Just leave him in there!
It's fine,
we're
you
gonna
guys.
Put lethal gas in there. Just don't...
Yeah, don't worry about
we
it.
We don't want you to see us, so don't go in there.
Well, Jamie hits the macro, by the way. That's what happens. He hits it and nothing happens. And he's like, well, what's up with these big giant macro?
Because that's the thing about the gas.
It's air.
It's fuel.
It's for...
They get gassed up, like a car.
And it's kind of unclear. They're very unclear about how lethal the gas... Like, the gas is to humans. Because it seems to be... That there's, like, a reveal when the doctor is, like, testing the lethality of the gas where it's like, no, this isn't supposed to kill Jamie. It's supposed to wake the Macra up. But then later, they just start killing people with the gas.
It works, but, like, we have to have this to breathe. And also, it's kind of useful, but, like, it kills other people.
So the gas fuels the Macra like cars. No. So they're like Mac cars.
It's just like oxygen.
I wanted to make a Mac car joke.
No. All right, I can't allow that to happen.
To be fair though, any gas that isn't like air, you can't really breathe.
It's true. That one comes to life. Jamie turns around, and then there's another one, and he's surrounded by Macra.
Which, in the reconstruction, it's really ridiculous, because I feel like three or four times they say some variation of, Jamie's in between the two Macra. There's one Macra on one side of him, and another Macra on the other side. He is in the middle, in between them.
Are we painting a picture?
It's a Macra sandwich with Jamie filling.
So it's a crab sandwich. That sounds good. How do you thought?
We are going to go get seafood, right?
Maybe. So, and then there's actually this nice juxtaposition that happens now. You know, you got this Jamie being gassed and it's scary and you're like, what's he going to do? And then they cut to like that cheery fucking, you know, Shrek music. And I was like, that is a nice juxtaposition of
which I'm trying,
scary and
trying to remember some of the lyrics. Because they're great. It's just like, we enjoy working. It's fun.
Well, that's like, there's also the cheer.
And that's the, basically that's the end of episode 3 is that Jamie is trapped. That was the end of No Permission. And we're now into episode 4. Back to work.
That sounds like the sequel to The Macra Terror. The Macra Terror 2, Back to Work. It came out in the 80s. In the poster for the sequel, there's two Macra and they both have sunglasses on.
Are they back to back?
Yeah.
But, like, both looking at the camera with, like, one of them's pulling his glasses down just a little bit, you know? So you can see his glowing eyes.
Exactly.
So the doctor is figuring out pipes and stuff.
He's basically trying to figure out a way to reverse the gas, which is a great scene because...
He's got to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, right?
There's two different valves, and one says, one is like...
It's like, one is at zero, and one is at, like, full, and he needs it to be the other way. It's like, plus must be made minus, and minus must be made plus. And they just kind of distract, like, there's a distraction that goes on that allows the doctor, like, to just push a bunch of buttons. And then, like, a thing that's one way is the other, and now the thing, another thing that was the other way is now one way. It occurred to me that, like, I know you're gonna ask, at the end, I know you're gonna ask later about how would they do this in New Who, but, like, that would stay exactly the same. This thing is this way now, and this thing is this way now, and I pushed a bunch of buttons.
And it causes fresh air. Because, meanwhile, to get away from the Macra, Jamie has shoved himself into a crevice in the shaft. Tony, that doesn't even make sense. Why are you giggling?
He said shaft, and also crevice.
Just, like, put it together.
Okay, and then the crab grabs Jamie, and you're like, oh no. But yeah, fresh air is going in. But here's the thing I don't get. So at this point, the doctor gets Officia's keys to open doors and shit. But doesn't Jamie have Officia's? Did Officia get a second set of keys?
He had to get a second pair, and they're like, okay, don't lose these ones. We'll be very upset with you if you do.
You know that that's like the running joke that happens now in the work pits. Oh, it's like, better not give Officia the keys. You know what happens when Officia gets the keys? And like, all the time, like, Officia like laughs, like, you know, and goes along with it. Yeah. And sometimes even he makes the joke. It's like, oh, I better be careful with these keys, huh? And he laughs, but inside he's dying.
Oh, it's funny because it hurts. But Jamie causes a salt avalanche in the crevice. He like bumps up against the wall enough to cause...
Because yeah, like the planet's made of salt, but that doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
The shaft collapses on top.
That makes me uncomfortable.
The shaft collapses on top of the crabs. What?
Nothing. Continue. I'm
just... Is that not what happens?
I'm just listening. I'm just listening to you tell me what happened in the episode.
The old shaft's got crabs.
Listening to you talk about the shaft.
That's the title of this episode. The old shaft has got crabs.
Jesus.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. But yeah, the wall crumbles on top of the crab and Jamie doesn't. He gets out. He's fine. The doctor and Polly are like, they run into the pipe room and they've got the key, so they're going to lock the door. And the guards are trying to get in and they shut the door and keep the guards out and they lock the door. And they're in this cupboard with pipes. That's the way the doctor describes it. Polly's
no,
like,
that is the pipe room. That is officially referred to as the pipe room.
I know, but like Polly's like, what do you think this place is? And he's like, looks like a cupboard full of pipes.
The thing about the serial is I feel like halfway through, starting from episode 3, I feel like everyone involved in writing it and performing it just said, you know what, fuck it. The first two episodes move kind of like a little bit of weird stuff, but it's like mostly going at like a normal pace and everyone's just kind of like, there's jokes and stuff or whatever, and like the plot just kind of moves along. And then the second two episodes, it's like, fuck it, like, there's like a crab claw, like, in the screen. and there's an old dude, and there's cheerleaders, and like...
It just goes off the rails.
It does. And like, the doctor's doing math with chalk and grading himself. Just like, it's just, it goes nuts.
Great.
Also, the cheerleader scene goes on for like, just a little bit too long. Like, they go
We're about there.
Can I talk about it?
Can we talk about it? Because I was so excited when it happened.
They go through the whole cheer. And twice. They're like, that's great. Let's do it again. And then they do.
Do you guys have the cheer written down? Because I do.
No, please read it.
Please do it. Chris Terry, you have to actually do the cheer. Don't do it if you're not going to commit.
I mean, I'm going to do the cheer. That's why I wrote it down. I mean, to be fair, though, there is a leader and there is a group.
So you're both.
Okay. But no, should we, like, set up that there's cheerleaders at, like...
Yeah, okay, so, like, okay, here's what happens. Officia and them or whatever, like, flip the things again so it starts spewing out gas again instead of fresh air. And Jamie's, like, trying to get away from it. And he finds a grate, and he opens it, and he goes through, and then we cut to cheerleaders. There's just cheerleaders doing a cheer. They're preparing.
Because, like, yeah, because that's how this place functions. Is that there's, like, marching bands and spas and lots of things that are all, like, all trained to make you work in a very blunt way. And they've written this cheer that is terrible. The thing about this cheer is that I feel like it was written by someone who's never actually seen a cheerleading thing happen. It was, like, written by, like, someone who's like, what do cheerleaders say? Rah, 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 yes. That's strong. End with that. Here's the cheer. Here's how it goes. There's a leader and a group, and it's a call and response cheer.
And now, a performance by Christopher LeBron Cherry.
The leader it starts off, it's like, what do you know? We all know control is right, and we must obey. Let them know, let them know. Let them know they're happy. Greet the morning with a shout. Everyone up, the sun is out. Rah, 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 rah. And that's how it ends.
Terry, that was good. But I think you need a little more energy in it. Do it again.
Like in the episode where they do it twice in a row?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. What do you know? We all know control is right and we must obey. Let them know. Let them know. Let them know they're happy. Greet the morning with a shout. Everyone out. The sun is out. Rah, rah, rah. Rah, rah, rah.
The rahs are my favorite part.
No, my favorite part is after they do it the second time, the cheerleader goes, that's beginning to sound like something.
Goes on for so long, I was like, what has happened? Are we watching a different show?
And then no, and then Jamie shows up, then the cheerleader's like, oh, you must be one of the dancers.
And he's like, nah, and he sees some guards coming around, he's like, yeah, yeah, that's me.
And then, and I mean this sincerely, I don't think I have ever, ever in my life been so sad that this is a serial is missing. That we do not have the footage of Jamie dancing.
Doing the Highland Fling, as he calls it. I bet it was amazing. And they're like, why is it called the Highland Fling? And he's like, because I fling myself out the door.
And whoop. They love it. It's the best thing they've ever seen.
Well, did you hear their chant?
They don't know what they're doing.
They don't know quality.
I assume the Macra wrote the chant.
I just imagine like a Macra, like at a typewriter. Oh, my claws are way too big for this. Rah, rah. Oh, I hit 5 keys.
It's written in the same cadence that the controller talks in. Oh my god. And then like, yeah, and he dances. He does the Highland Fling and almost works.
Almost.
Almost.
Except he flings himself right into the guards. So that's bad.
And Ben.
And this is the thing that's been happening all throughout the serial, where Jamie is just stating the obvious. Like earlier, it's like, there was a voice. You sound like that voice. And like, I follow the doctor. But then like Ben gives him away. And it's like, that's Jamie. And like, that's one of the strangers or whatever. And then Jamie goes, Ben, you gave me away.
I feel like so much is going on in Jamie's life right now that doesn't make any sense. But he just like to repeat the parts that do make sense, like as reassurance. This is what I have a handle on currently. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening. It feels so bad for Jamie. Like, I love him. And he's clearly very smart. But I feel so bad when he's just like, what is this? And everyone's like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, he doesn't know!
Let them know. Let them know.
Poor Jamie.
Have we missed the best description caption?
Yes.
Yes.
The one that, like, I watched this episode and then texted you.
They take they take Jamie away because Ben ratted him out. And then, yes, this happens.
But then Ben is still sort of, like, fighting his programming. And they found this still of Ben making a ridiculous face. It's a ridiculous face of like, he's acting really hard. Just like, he's acting so hard it hurts. And the description under it just says, Ben is obviously troubled.
It literally looks like he's pulled something. He's acted so hard.
It's a beautiful image.
In the pipe room, the Doctor and Polly are cruising around, and they come across the controller, which is a macra at a control panel. And then we get the longest parasite metaphor that that goes on about as long as the cheerleader sequence. But they just keep going on and on about how they're parasites and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, if they're parasites, then that it's like this and it's like that. And I'm like, we
and
get
the
it.
The control room
Move
is
on.
Like the brain. So it's like they've infected the brain and like parasites.
And the Doctor pulls his chalk out and starts making diagrams.
The thing is that like they're really like laboring this metaphor. And I think like part of the problem is it's sort of confused by the fact that they look like insects or crabs. They're like, no, they're metaphorical parasites, not like literal parasites, but also they're literal parasites. But like, we get it. We know they look like crabs and they look like, just like go with it, okay?
And then what happens? Because my notes are weird.
My notes just say, the pilot looks like Johnny Cash. I didn't realize that until just now.
They find the control room and then they're like, we're going to take the pilot and bring him with us and be like, see, this is what's happening here. And so
Ola and is there and pilot and they get into a fight.
Well, it's past curfew. The controller's there and the controller's like, don't listen to them. Just arrest them. Just don't listen to them. Arrest them. They're evil. And the pilot's like, I'm going to listen to them.
They're like, no, arrest them. Pay no attention to the crowd behind the curtain.
And so he listens to him and he's, you know, they say, come with us. We're going to show you something. And Ola's like, you can't. It's past curfew. You're breaking the law. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going with him anyway.
And the controller is like, you're head crab now. That's like, that's just a phrase.
That doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as crabs. Oh, I just made myself sad. What if there weren't?
There is a universe without shrimp.
That's the saddest universe.
There is also that one where there's nothing but shrimp.
Someone should take some shrimp from that universe and bring it to the universe. We need to redistribute our shrimp.
What about our peanut butter?
We need shrimp equilibrium.
What about our peanut butter?
No.
No? Okay.
Fuck every other universe that doesn't have peanut butter.
That is every
That's
other universe.
That's a very
universe.
Specific reference.
Honestly, considering the references that have been done in this podcast, that's the least specific.
I guess.
But anyway, Pilot disobeys and goes with the Doctor and Polly. And also, like, Ben is like, I think he, like, lies for Jamie, right?
He covers.
He covers for Jamie.
And he kind of, like, goes off and to, like, follow them and, like, why? Like, at this point, he's like, something's wrong. I need to see things. So he's just kind of, like, stalking people for truth.
Ben, I think when they realize Ben is gone, they're like, oh, by the way, he's bad, too. He's no longer listening to the controller. He's no longer properly brainwashed. He's evil.
And, like, I think, I don't know if it was then, I think someone says something like, he's one of the strangers. They're dangerous. And I immediately just shouted, stranger danger.
Stranger danger of the danger gang.
They go back to find the controller, right?
Yeah, they show Pilot the controller, the macra. And he's like, oh, shit, it's real. And he's like, goes and tells Ola, hey, it's real. And Ola's like, no, it's not. I'm leader now. Fuck you guys. And locks them in the pipe room. And then they're like,
they're arrested.
4 minutes till, you know, bad things happen. They're like, what, 4 minutes? 4 minutes till what? And like, gas starts pouring into the room, right? They're like, 4 minutes till we die. And then Ben to the rescue.
Yeah, Ben!
Ben's like, banging on the door, and he's like, guys, I'm good now. And they're like, cool, get us out of here. And he's like, did you try opening the door on your side? No, Ben. No. Whoa, let's try that. That's a genius idea. Try the door handle.
I miss the evil Ben. He knew how to work.
And he's like, okay, I guess you tried it. Let me try it on this. No, it doesn't work over here either. We've got 4 minutes, Ben.
He saves the day.
He saves.
He does. The doctor has to walk him through it. He's like, all right, walk over to that control panel. And he's like, okay.
Throw the levers.
Yeah, throw this switch and this switch and this switch up and that switch down. And then the door opens. And he saves the day!
And everybody's fine, I guess.
Ben did a good.
He did a good.
And then there's a marching band?
The ice cream band music is back.
How did they convince everyone that... Did they clear everything up?
I think they had to show each individual person the control room. And there was like a line. It's everyone come, like, get in this line. The controller says you have to get in this line. Just stand in a line. And one by one, look here. Oh, they're crabs. Yeah, we know. Go on. Next. Move along. Move along. Oh, they're crabs. Yeah, we know. We know. It's very scary.
They blow them up, don't they?
Do they blow him up? I don't remember.
I think Ben blows him up.
They might blow him up. I don't know.
There was some things that got changed around.
Krabs got defeated.
Yeah, Ben pulls the levers, triggering an explosion.
They used a special shampoo, and they got rid of him.
I guess the pilot took back over and is like, eh, everything's fine. And then they have a dance festival, and they're like, there's going to be a dance festival every year.
This is my favorite cliffhanger ever. This is my favorite wrap-up and to the story.
Whoever.
Oh, totally.
Whoever wins the dance festival will get the Stranger's Trophy.
Like, they've been here how long? I think, like, you can't learn their names?
No, their names are the Strangers now. That is the way it works. They are the Strangers. And I love how, like, this is such, like, a doctor thing, because they're like, Jamie's like, hey, no, did you hear? They want to put you in charge. And, like, the doctor's like, me in charge? Fuck that. Let's dance on out of here. And that's what happens.
Literally, Jamie's like, we should go. And the doctor's like, no, I want to party. And Jamie's like, you know, after the party, they're going to, like, they're going to put you in charge of the colony. And the doctor's like, nope. All right, let's go. Bye.
Exit stage left, even.
I want no part of that, thank you.
But it says that, it says, like, in the description, and again, I wish there was footage, that they, like, dance to the TARDIS. And I love that image so much.
This was a pretty solid serial. I enjoyed it.
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
Let's get a live one.
Oh, yeah, sure. Final thoughts! Rah, rah, rah!
I liked the serial a lot. I liked 1984 growing up. So I did, like, in the first episode where it's just, like, his face really big on the screen, I was like, this is an Oz thing, isn't it? And you were like, yes, it's an Oz thing. And I was like, great. I love it. I like where something is, like, pleasant, but also evil. Where you're like, this shit's fucked up, isn't it? Everyone's way too happy. This can't be good. That's always an aesthetic thing that I enjoy.
There's a Seventh Doctor serial called The Happiness Patrol.
I've heard about that, and yes.
You will enjoy that.
And I will really enjoy it. I enjoyed Ben in the serial. I feel like I should say it when it's true. I give him credit where credit's due. I also really like mind control stuff. It'll always get me. So this played to a lot of my favorite tropes. And the macro made me want seafood. And that's it. Those are my final thoughts.
Cherry, what's your final thoughts?
I, like, love the serial, even though I'm not sure if it's good. There's a lot of really good gags. Like, it's really funny. Mostly on purpose. It's well plotted, and like Ben has a really good arc, and like it's really well paced, and he saves the day. Like, a lot of the plot mechanics are really good, and there's a lot of really good gags, but like everything about a lot of the dialogue and like the storytelling is, like I said earlier, is very blunt. It's the least subtle 1984 riff ever. It sort of makes sense if you assume like that this like is a Big Brother thing that's made by giant crabs who don't really get people. Like, Jamie's just saying plot points. There's a lot of saying plot points. It has this sort of kind of heightened where no one's really acting like actual people.
No, but they are acting very well, like brainwashed people acting as somebody else's poorly formed idea of people. Just why I think it works.
Which is fine, but like, also sometimes Jamie and Polly are acting that way, and then it's not clear that like, it's a choice, and then it just sometimes feels like, maybe this isn't great writing. But like, a lot of it, like I said, I'm so glad I got this one and not like the moon base. I didn't know what to expect from it, and it's so much fun. The doctor, like, does math and then grades himself and gives himself a 10 out of 10 and then makes it 11 out of 10. And I love that. And there's cheerleaders. It's really funny and ridiculous. Like I said, like, on a plot level, I think very well done. Polly's haircut, A+, 11 out of 10.
I was hoping you'd forget that so I'd have something original to say in my final thoughts. My final thoughts. What you guys said. I liked it a lot. There are so many scenes in this serial that don't exist that I wish did. All the dancing that Jamie did. Oh, there was another bit. What was the other bit that I wanted to see exist? There was another bit I wanted to see exist. There's a lot of good stuff in this episode. Yeah, it is a little blunt, but it's really funny.
It's so much better when they kind of stop taking it seriously. Like I said, the first two episodes, they're taking it more seriously. But once they kind of stop taking it seriously, it gets amazing.
And I'll say that, yeah, that is something about this serial, is it has a nice pace. Because, like, we watched the first two episodes, I'm like, whoa, is it over already? Oh, on to the next one. Like, it moves at a nice rate, and it, like, does escalate nicely. Like, it starts off fairly normal and gets wackier as it goes in a nice way. Just the controller being, starting off like, you know, like Big Brother or whatever, and just eventually being like fucking Jerry Lewis, trying to, you know, just like,
wow, wow, stop, the, you don't do the things, oh god, what am I gonna do? That's Woody Allen.
I was gonna say.
But yeah, I like that. I was just... Just him slowly, like, losing control of the situation is pretty hilarious. And, like, yeah, Ben wasn't annoying, other than once or twice.
Ben was really good. I agree.
Polly's haircut was amazing, but I also wish she had gotten more to do, because mostly she just tags along.
I really feel like they've collectively dropped the ball on Polly.
Oh, though I will say, well, there's, like, a small thing that I kind of enjoyed about the relationship of Polly and Ben. Is, like, in their first serial, Polly is hypnotized to be evil and sort of helps Ben out, even though she's hypnotized. It flipped in this serial where Ben is hypnotized and he has to help Polly out, even though he... It's been hypnotized not to with the when she's being attacked by the Macra and all that. So that was a nice little flip. I don't know if it was done on purpose or not, but I enjoyed it.
It was not done on purpose.
Oh, and lastly, I will say I love that opening title. I love that opening with the face.
Space face.
Yeah, that was good. So...
That was an episode, I think.
Yeah, that was an episode.
So how would you do this story if it was modern here?
I feel like there would be a lot more traffic. Actually, no, like, but like I said earlier, honestly, like, this is a very RTD Doctor Who story. You would definitely play up the dynamics of Jamie and Ben more. Like, I feel like they would have more of an arc together. If you did this in New Who, like, that would sort of be... the character plot of this story, the kind of emotional plot of this story.
Instead of just being only on Ben's shoulders.
I think, like, Ben would get the same amount to do. But, like, there's, like, hints of it in this thing. Like, and, like, the Doctor says at one point, like, Jamie wants to, like, kick your ass or whatever. Like, I feel like that would be played up and that would be sort of their plot. It would be that. I think that would be a thing. But, like, yeah, I feel like a lot of the comedy would be the same. Like, switches and buttons. That's a very RTD era Who thing. It's just the Doctor presses a lot of buttons. And then, like, that's the climax. And one time Donna pressed a lot of buttons. But yeah, I think that's what it would be like. It would be that plot a little stronger. Maybe a bit more active dread in the colony. But no, yeah, I think it would be a lot like this.
Better music.
The music, oh my god, the music. We didn't even really talk about it that much. It's like especially horrendous.
At least they don't play it 9 billion times like the ballad of the...
Oh my god.
Of the whatever saloon.
Last Chance Saloon.
Last Chance, yeah.
I don't know how you could forget.
I don't know, it should be permanently lodged in my brain. We did it! We did another one!
We did!
We're still doing it somehow! Hooray! No one's asked us to stop yet.
Thanks for listening. If you like us and want to check out more, go to watchyourasslon.com. You can follow us on Twitter at watchyourass. If you want to help us out, you can go to watchyourasslon.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon, and there you can get all sorts of cool rewards, like you can watch us watch the episodes, or you can watch us record this nonsense, or you can do all sorts of other cool stuff. And also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can purchase the DVDs for us, and then you'll become a sponsor of that serial, that episode. And we will shout you out on that podcast and put you on the Friends of Rassilon page. And that would be cool. Then rate and review or whatever you do on iTunes. Do that thing. Put a thing on iTunes. Type in, we like you guys. And then hit submit. That'll be good.
It helps a lot.
Yes. And anything you want to plug, Chris?
Watch season one of Brains. Go find it and watch it. Go to YouTube. Brains, an original web series. Watch that because season two is coming out and everyone needs to be caught up. All of you.
BrainsWebSeries.com.
Yeah, that's also a thing. I know how to plug things. Bree is in the other room, mad at me. She can't hear me. She just knows.
Right. You're roommates with her, right?
Yes.
Fun fact.
Chris Fact. This is it. We're done.
We'll be back next time for the faceless ones.
Ooh.
No guest on that one, but.
It's just going to be the two of us?
It's just going to be the two of us.
Aww. Romantic. It's going to be a romantic episode.
I mean, it sounds romantic. It's called The Faceless Ones.
I'm assuming that there will be faceless ones.
Without Faces?
And, like, some mad lady in a TV, and the Doctor climbs a tower at the end.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, who would write something like that? That would be bad. Anyway, keep calm and wrestle on. Bye.
I approve of that.
Jesus Christ.
That was Ben Padden. That was Ben Padden.
Keep calm and wrestle on. Jesus Christ.
What do you know?
We are road control is right, and we must obey.
Let them know, let them know.
Let them know they're happy.
Greet the morning with a shout.
Everyone up, the sun is out.
Rah, rah, rah.
Rah, rah, rah. Cheers for the colony. We're the gang that works the hardest, and we must obey. Obey control, ring the bell.
Rah, rah, rah.
Rah, rah, rah.
Work well.
Ring the bell.
Oh, that's much better, but we'll do it again, and this time with more feeling.